Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Thaxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for Favor Life, the process of there where we walk by faith and not by sight to the destiny, the call, and the purpose that God has predestined us for, preordained us for, and we do it by faith, growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, as we learn of him, as he is revealed to us, and we eat that word, receive that word, live that word, we grow, we become more like him, we shine brightly, others are blessed by the light, they're encouraged by the light, they're empowered by it, many are drawn to Jesus Christ, and it is a blessing not only to those who receive it, but it's glory unto God. God changes us as we believe and we trust him, line upon line, precept upon precept, glory to glory, height to height, depth to depth, faith to faith. We become more like he is. God always chooses unlikely people. He chooses people that other folks would not choose, and he chooses them for his glory. He chooses them so that he can get the glory out of their life. Today, in this 15 minutes of empowerment, we're going to be encouraged about the fact that we've got to die so that God can live in us. And it's going to be awesome to understand that what God wants and needs from us requires the same process that Jesus went through, but not on the same level. So we're going to look today in the book of John, and we're going to look at chapter 12 in the book of John, and we're going to look at verses 22 down to 26. And this is talking about the fruitful grain of the wheat. It talks about, then this is right before Jesus dies. This is right before he goes to the cross. And the word of God reads and says, "But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor." Now, this is saying a lot, a great deal. It's saying a lot, and we're going to touch on just a little bit of this. And we're understanding here that the hour for Jesus has come. There's an hour for everyone. Just like Jesus, there was an hour that had to come for his life. There's an hour for us. There's an hour that God is going to vindicate us. There's an hour that he's going to bless us. There's an hour that we have to go through trials and tests. There's timing, and that hour means the time. There's times and season in our life. There's things that have been set, predestined. It was predestined already for Jesus to die on the cross, and there was a set time for him to come, a set time for him to start his ministry, a set time for him to do miracles. So there was a set time for everything that was going to happen and transpire in his life. So it is with us. There are set times that God wants to see growth, see faith, set times that he wants us to rest, certain times when he wants to bless us, set times that he wants us to trust him. So we go through seasons that we are tried, that we are blessed, that we rest, that we are encouraged, that we understand what it says in the book of Ecclesiastes. There's a time and a season for everything under the sun. So therefore there's things that happen in our life that we will understand as we grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that are set times. And when those times come, we have to give thanks regardless of how it feels, and sometimes it's hard, but we have to still give thanks and trust God and the fact that he knows the road that we take. He knows what's going on with us. He's not asleep when things are happening. He knows every detail, and anything that he's allowed to happen in our life is for him to get glory, for us to trust him, for us to grow, for us to understand that in every situation we still have an overcoming testimony in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we see a set time that has come for the Son of Man, and as I just stated, there's a time for us that God is going to get glory. There's a time that God is going to allow circumstances to happen that do not look good or feel good or to the flesh, but it's a time that as we go through it with faith, with the right heart, praising and trusting God, he's going to get glory out of it. Jesus is here at this set time. He's here, and he gives them a parable, and he lets them know. He gives them a saying and lets them know, and he's talking about the grain of wheat. Unless this grain of wheat dies, in the natural sense, when you have a piece of corn or any type of seed and it dies, it has to die. Unless it goes in the ground, it doesn't do anything. So the seed, if you keep it outside in a cup without anything in it or any water, any ground, any dirt, it's not going to do anything. It's just going to be a seed that has died but has not produced what it's supposed to. And so it is. Jesus had to die to produce the brothers and the sisters, the family that God intended, because only through his death would we be able to come and now access God, be forgiven of our sins, receive eternal life, receive God's spirit, have this new generated life that's inside of us now. And that could only come through Jesus' death. Well, in us, there are things that God wants to die. There are attitudes and gratitudes, behaviors and conducts. There's even mindsets that he wants to die. He wants those things that do not bring him glory to die. And as these things die, then we're going to see the manifestation of him being produced in us in a greater way so that other people will come to Jesus, other people will be encouraged, other people will see the light, other people will be drawn. So there's a process that we have to go through, even in this walk of faith, where there are things in us that have to die. The Bible lets us know that we have to mortify the deeds of our flesh, and we mortify those deeds and those works of our flesh, not just through the Word of God, not just through praying, but also through fasting. And when we fast, we're fasting the physical appetite. We're starving out that physical appetite that we might gain a greater appetite of the Spirit. We're not allowing the flesh, our flesh, which is that physical appetite, to dictate to us and talk to us, because if you are walking by faith and you're doing anything for God, then you have already experienced and encountered that your flesh does not want to bow or submit. It wars against the things of God. It talks, so to speak, to you, that whenever you get ready to fast, all of a sudden you're hungry, you don't want to fast. If you're trying to do what God is telling you to do with forgiving someone or blessing someone, it acts up. If you're forgiving, it tells you you're justified not to forgive. It lets you, does all the things that's opposite of the will and the word of God. So we understand that flesh has to be mortified. That's part of that killing part. That mind has to be renewed. That's part of that killing part, that dying part. We're dying to ourselves in order to gain Jesus in a greater dimension, in a greater way. So just like we see in the natural, the product of fruit or seed that dies and the thing that it goes through, we see that life comes after that death. So in us, when we give way to the Spirit of God, when we allow God's Spirit and the Word of God to manifest in us, then the life and the light and the Word of God shines forth even greater, giving light and life unto us, unto the fruit of our lives, so that someone else can be glorified. And it's not our fruit, it's his. It's his righteousness. It's him being glorified in us in a greater way as we submitted ourselves unto him. And this principle that we see in the natural realm is true in the spirit realm, and we have to go through that. We have to allow that death process to happen to our will, because as I've said many, many times before, we've been taught to be independent. We've been taught to be selfish and self-centered. We've been taught to go for ourselves. And when we look and study the life of Jesus, that was not his character. That is not his character, God's character. God is compassionate. He had pity. He forgave. He gave his son so that he could have a family of sons and daughters. He gave them good gifts treasures is given to us, even in the life of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus. We see him getting to people, healing them, delivering them, setting them free. We see them feeding them. He's giving to people who he does not personally know, and the fact that it's a family member, because many of us will give to sometimes family or friends or people who have done us right, but Jesus gave to the people who in the end would betray him, because they were the ones who were screaming, crucify him. Not all of them, but many of them wanted him to die. They wanted the thief to come off the cross, and so that they could crucify him. So, you know, It was a place where we see that he gave compassionately to people who probably would never love him or receive him or honor him, but he still did it anyway. And that's what we have to do. We have to give ourselves to people on our job, in the community, in the church, in our family, who will never, ever fully understand unless their eyes have been opened, enlightened with the gospel of truth, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, but also the compassion and the love that we're showing to them. When we're showing it, we're not doing it in our own power or our own strength. We're doing it in the power and the strength in the word and the life of Jesus Christ. And a part of us has to die, because it does not feel good to continually give to someone who's rejecting you, or be nice or be loving and kind and compassionate. And so when we do that, and we do it through the love of God, and we do it allowing our will to die, allowing our way, our thinking, our habit, how we would treat people to die, and we're allowing the compassion and the love of God to come in, then we see something greater manifesting in our life. There's a fruit that comes that someone else is going to see and notice. Even the person that is not seemingly receiving what you're doing, they're going to notice. Even if they think that you're a doormat for even being compassionate to them, they're going to eventually begin to see that something is different about you, and you're not doing this because you're weak. You're doing this because you're showing the love of Jesus Christ, and you're giving them the opportunity to see. So we see that there's a place that we ourselves have to die to our own will, so that we can produce the fruit of Jesus Christ, that we can be the light to the world, that we will live for him. And then the last part, it says, he who loves his life. And basically this is saying those who live primarily for themselves, they live for their own pleasure, not for the pleasure of God, not for the will of God. They don't live to do his will. They live for their pleasure. And when you do that, the Bible lets us know that you're going to lose your life. But those who hate their life, in other words, their desire is not to please the world, it's to please God. It is to honor him and to live for him, and to know that this life down here is not the promised place for me. I have something greater. I have a home that's greater. And eternally, I'm going to live to be with Jesus Christ in the place that he's prepared. And when we understand that and we lose our life and we're not caught up in the things of this world, that those things don't have a hold on us more than the spiritual things, that we're living for his glory and his pleasure, and we're living for his to show someone his goodness and to let him be glorified through us, you're going to see that you're living for his glory. So we understand that even though we don't like it, this process requires a death in us, and there's a set time for everything under the sun. So I pray that you are allowing God to deal with you and teach you, and even as you go through, that there is something in you that says, I'm going to die to my own selfishness and my own will, that he might be glorified. I'm Pastor Cheryl Faxon. Thank you so much for joining me for Favor Life, the process of there, and for this 15-minute of empowerment. I pray that you receive this word and that it empowers you to see the will of God be done in your life. God bless you, and we'll see you again tomorrow.